So Kelsey and I were out for dinner with my mom and my sister last night, and we went over to Red Robin, where it was very convenient to be surrounded by televisions actively broadcasting the semifinals of the Little League World Series. Yeah? So we got to catch a glimpse of Texas way out in right field. And the team, with two outs on the inning, knocked one straight back to where he was standing. I don't think he moved at all. But we heard the entire team in one rallying cry yell out, "Jake, look up!" As the ball came soaring down and by the grace of God landed in his mitt. And he got the out. And I tell you what, we cleared that dugout. And we went and we picked up Jake and we brought him back in. He was shining in the spotlight that day, huh? In this morning's gospel text, we come upon Peter shining in his moment in the spotlight of Matthew's gospel. Here he is. The apostle who has a keen habit for missing the point, the one who doesn't always get the picture, the one standing way out in right field. He finally gets it right. It comes as Jesus and the disciples are walking along into the district of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus poses a question to them. Perhaps it was a question he'd been curious about. Maybe it was a question nagging at the back of his mind, or maybe he was just testing the waters of his disciples. Whatever the case may be, as we approach the midpoint of Matthew's gospel here, Jesus checks in with those following him, asking, "Who do people say that I am?" Apparently, the disciples had been tracking this question as well. They must have gathered public opinion. Maybe they were doing exit polls following every sermon and miracle because they are quick to respond to Jesus' question. Some say you're John the Baptist, but others Elijah. Still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. After hearing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, after seeing him heal the sick and the paralyzed, after watching him free the demon-possessed, give sight to the blind, after hearing his parables, and most recently having just been fed by him alongside thousands of others with nothing but two fish and five loaves, the people were starting to get an idea as to who Jesus was. Jesus was getting a reputation about himself. See, the people knew he must be someone important. They knew this Jesus must be someone sent from God. Like Elijah, his miraculous and otherworldly actions demonstrate that he must be connected with the God of Israel's history. Similarly, his at times countercultural messages to the crowds must have reminded them of the weeping prophet Jeremiah, whose words often went against the grain of those in power. Finally, his work throughout Galilee and his repeated messages of the coming kingdom of God must have reminded the people of the latest God-sent messenger, the one whom they just lost, John the Baptist. All of these comparisons bear certain truths about this Son of Man whom they've been watching. Certainly, this must be one of God's messengers, they think. Yet Jesus apparently wants to press the issue a little farther. After getting feedback about public opinion, he wants to get his disciples' impressions. Looking to those who have been closest to him and have seen a greater totality of his ministry, he turns the question to them. Okay, but who do you say that I am? When you discuss among yourselves, who is it that you say you are following? How have you come to see me, to understand me, to know me? Jesus asks. Unsurprisingly, our good friend Peter is the first one to speak up when prompted. And for one shining moment, here Peter stands. As he responds to Jesus' question, his confession rings out with a succinct truth. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. such a simple and straightforward statement, Peter manages to capture what those in the crowds had only a glimpse of. Where others saw Jesus as an important figure, a messenger and prophet from God, Peter sees Jesus for who he truly is. You are the Son of the living God, the Messiah for whom we have been waiting, he says. See, Peter gets it exactly right, and Jesus clears the dugout for him. Jesus praises him for his confession there on the spot. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. God is at work in you, Jesus says. God has opened your eyes to see who this is that is asking the question. It's an important recognition and distinction that Peter makes in his confession. And it's one that Jesus reflects in his praise. Because where others saw Jesus as being a great figure amongst many great figures in the history of Israel, Peter sees and confesses him as the presence of the living God in this world. This is not just some leader who harkens back to the times when God was active in Israel's history. This is the presence of that God. And in much the same way, Jesus helps Peter to see that the same living God is also at work in him, revealing Jesus' reality to Peter and guiding his true and right confession, a confession that was enough to be built on the rock on which Jesus would then build his church. So then, church, who do we say that Jesus is? Is he for us another great figure who conveyed great wisdom out of our scripture? In the confession of our statements and actions, do we proclaim him as a prophet like Elijah or Jeremiah or even John the Baptist? Or do our words and actions confess him as the Son of the living God? Maybe, like Peter, we need Jesus' help to see God at work in and around us. It may be more difficult than it used to be these days to see such signs of the living God in our world. But rest assured, the same confession that Peter made some 2,000 years ago rings true today. The Son of the living God has entered the world. God is still active in it. The living God reaches out through prayer shawls, and through blankets, and through backpacks, and through diapers. God's living presence is made known when we move from worship to step out into our communities to be God's hands and feet in our world. The living God is at work in this world. It may be difficult to recognize, but it is true. God is at work through you and for you. The living God has come to prepare for you a place of life eternal and a life of grace for you and for all people, starting right here, right now. This is not some God who is content to be read from a page, even the pages of a sacred text. This is the God who insists on coming into the world to reach you and make sure that you know you are never alone, because you have been claimed by this living God. The irony of this morning's text is that even after Peter's authentic and true confession, Jesus tells him and the rest of the disciples not to tell anyone about this reality of who he is, to let anyone know that he is the Messiah. See, there's more that the disciples need to learn first. We'll hear it next week. There's a piece of this Messiah's identity that they first need to understand and experience before they can boldly proclaim who he is. For now, though, it is enough to know that they walk in the presence of the Son of the living God, the one who is going to accompany them in all things ahead. For now, it is enough that we too know that we are accompanied in the world by the presence of the living God. that we are claimed and emboldened by God's divine love for you and for all people. So let's clear the dugout. The living God is with us. Amen.